RV Family Travel Atlas is brought to you by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Camp Casual. Family owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit CampCasual.com to see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about something that may seem like a bit of an oxymoron, van life with kids. Hashtag van life usually conjures up images of young couples and hipsters hanging out in their adventure mobiles outfitted with solar panels and bike racks.
But after years of camping and RV shopping, Lauren Eber decided that van life was for her family, even though she has two young kids. Lauren and her husband ended up buying a Sprinter van and converting it to suit the needs of a family of four living in an urban region.
You might think that having kids means big tow vehicles and big RVs, but we know Lauren's brave and bold idea will tempt you to try something else. You are listening to episode number 205, Van Life with Kids.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, van life with kids, it's time for another What's Cooking with RVFTA segment, and that means another recipe from Kate Dunbar's new cookbook that's going to come out any day now, The Campground Gourmet. But before we dive into this recipe, which looks really easy, and I love the fact that it's on using a cast iron skillet, looks like it's in my wheelhouse, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's, a great place to go get some cast iron.
Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp in comfort, and we want to remind you to put it on your calendar. We are going to be at the Delaware Cabela's store on December 16th hanging out. Anybody in the area can come by. And when you come by, I'm going to give you another idea for what you might want to pick up at the store while you're there, okay? Because we've been featuring some of our favorite Cabela's items that we've used over and over, like the ones that we've fallen in love with since starting to have Cabela's as our major outfitter about 2.5 years ago now. And one of the things that I really love is their branded sweatshirts and t-shirts, particularly for the kids. Now, Jeremy and I have these. We're stocked up on these also. We love their branded sweatshirts and t-shirts, and there's two reasons why. First of all, they're super affordable. Second of all, they're super durable. That is the magic combination that is really hard to find when you're clothing shopping.
A lot of branded t-shirts are always like $20, $25.
Right.
I mean, at Cabela's, you can grab some nice t-shirts for $10.
Oh, for the kids, they'll be on sale for $9.
And what I like to get the location t-shirts. So if you go to Cabela's Hamburg, like they'll have their own t-shirt. When I went to the Cabela's up in Maine, they have their own t-shirt and they have the branded hats.
I think the South Dakota one too. You got something.
I love my South Dakota. I have my Cabela's South Dakota t-shirt for that particular store. So I always look for those when I go in.
But you know how our kids just put this stuff through the wringer, and then on top of that, they grow out of clothes so fast. So it's hard. You want something that's going to hold up to their wear and tear, but you also don't want to spend so much money because you know they're going to grow out of it. And that's why now we literally update their wardrobe with every, like, usually it's like twice a year, once in the spring and once in the fall. They've grown out of the old sweatshirts or t-shirts. They get a whole new round, and it's so affordable for me to do that.
And Wesley gets some hand-me-downs.
And now Wes is getting the hand-me-downs from a couple of years ago that Max and Theo had, and they're still in perfectly good condition. I think he wore one of their hand-me-down Cabela sweatshirts to school today.
They last and last and last. No cheap zippers either.
Right.
No cheap zippers.
Check out Cabela's full line of affordable outdoor gear at Cabela's.com. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
Now, this What's Cooking with RVFTA segment, I've been loving, and we've been getting a lot of nice messages on social media and emails about it. I think people are really enjoying it. And Stephanie, I have to admit, I've almost been thinking we might need to make it a permanent segment on the show, but I don't know. We'll have to talk a bit more about that later, because I've also enjoyed shifting it each time. But this week, it's really morphing into What's Cooking with Kate Dunbar and this new cookbook she's got out, The Campground Gourmet, which is going to be available as an ebook on Amazon and anywhere else you can get ebooks in just a couple of days. So Stephanie picked another recipe, and this is like a nice, sweet, simple one, and it's a side this time, right?
Yeah, and I decided to feature the skillet sweet potatoes with pecans and cranberries because, of course, it's the beginning of November and we're all in the mood for our Thanksgiving food, and I thought this is the perfect thing to highlight right now. One of the reasons why I'm so happy with this cookbook is I think that we took things that are, you know, a lot of time when you see camp food, it's so campy, right? Hobo foil packets, right? And it's just the stuff you cook over the open fire or something like that. What we did was kind of make this cookbook a lot more like Americans cook now and like we RVers cook now. These things can be made at home or at the campground. You know, some of you may like to cook more at home. I'm going to tell you that every single recipe in this cookbook can be made in your kitchen at home and it's going to be delicious there, or you can make it at the campground. And I think that that was important to me and Kate when we were doing this.
That jumped out to me right away, that this is a really good one for the campground too. Very simple to do this one over the fire. But also what you're saying is very interesting. A lot of campground cookbooks, I think, are kind of like old fashioned in the sense that they're written for that almost like that tent camping family that might go camping once or twice a year. A lot of the people that listen to our show are in their RVs 20, 30, 40 nights a year. We have full-time listeners. And the way you cook at the campground is going to be more similar than the way you cook at home, because basically it is your second home.
Yeah. And I just think that people do have some ovens now and the big skillets, and they have a lot of different stuff that they love to experiment with, not just the Dutch oven over the campfire, you know? And that's what I think this book celebrates. It really celebrates the fact that oftentimes we get to slow down and just spend a little more time paying attention to our food and having those meals together as a family at the campground. Look, I don't need to read you the studies. They're all out there. We all know that. It's important for us to share food, to break bread with our kids and our family and our friends. And in this hectic life, we don't do that enough.
And look, to make this one at the campground, you just need a burner, or you could do it over the campfire, I suppose, right?
Yeah, of course.
Or just a burner and a skillet and the ingredients.
All right. So let's dive in, because some of you might want to add this into your fall rotation right now and kind of like experiment with a little bit, even if you're not at the campground. All right. So all you're going to need is about 6 cups of sweet potatoes, and they're going to be peeled and cut into those little half inch cubes, you know, like the kind of, the little roasted potato style dicing. Then you're going to take a cup of sweet yellow onion diced, 4 tablespoons of olive oil, garlic, sea salt, pepper, 1/2 cup of dried cranberries, 1/4 cup of green onions, finely chopped, and then 1/4 cup of chopped pecans. So it's not a lot of ingredients here.
And that sea salt's going to be better for flavoring than regular table salt.
Jeremy's learned that. He's been learning about his food. What are your favorite podcasts lately?
I've been listening to the Bon Appetit podcast, and then I've been listening to this other one, I think it's from like KCRW, and I can't remember the name of it.
The Splendid Table?
Oh, I've been listening to The Splendid Table, but then there's a third one that's really good too, and I'll try and remember to put it in the show notes, because I've really enjoyed it.
All right, so you're going to put your 12-inch cast iron pan in the cold oven, and you're going to preheat it to 375 degrees. Kate's talked about why you should preheat that cast iron skillet.
To get a nice even heat, because cast iron, it maintains its heat once it's warmed up, but it can warm up unevenly, particularly if you're over like a burner on an old Coleman camp stove. You might get a hot spot somewhere where the heat is right under it. So the oven matters. And you can.
But if you don't have an onion, it's an onion, an oven.
If you don't have an onion, you can't do the recipe.
If you don't have an oven, it's okay. Like, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. But also, if you're over the campfire, I would imagine you're going to get that nice even heat, perhaps a little bit more than if you're over a burner on a camp stove.
Let it sit over there for a while, right? All right. So then you're going to put the olive oil and butter in, and then you're going to add the sweet potatoes, and you're just going to saute them, right, for 5 to 7 minutes until they're golden. Then you're basically going to add the rest of the ingredients. And this is my kind of campground recipe, right? Throw everything else in. You're going to mix well, and then you're going to place in a hot oven for 20 to 30 minutes, stirring every 10 minutes or so. Now, again, if you're doing this over the campfire, you could just put the lid on, right? Like if you're doing it in your cast iron Dutch oven.
I've bought two of those cast iron lids. skillets for our lodge skillets. So for our 10 and a half skillet and our 12 inch skillet, I got cast iron lids. And I do think they work a little better than the clear ones, the glass ones.
Yeah. And also we just did the podcast on the cook it all, the lodge cook it all. This would be an easy recipe to do in that wok portion or the, I mean, really you could do it in any part of the cook it all. Oh yeah.
Everybody's got to go check that bonus episode we just did on the lodge cast iron cook it all.
All right. So this is just a yummy, warm, sweet, you know, nutty fall recipe. I thought it was perfect to bring out and just show you an example of the kind. What I'm, you know, what I wanted to highlight about Kate's cooking is that it's both simple and delicious, right? She's not making things overly complicated, but she is presenting a better way to make your food.
When you look at the photo and go over to the show notes and look at the photos, when you look at photos of Kate's food, it looks like it's something you'd get at an upscale cafe or a fine dining restaurant.
Well, she owned one of those.
I know she did. But there are less than 10 ingredients, and they are all really pretty simple, straightforward ingredients.
It is. It's taking just real food and making it delicious, and I love that about what Kate does. So go over to rvfta.com. The whole recipe is here, and we're giving you free examples of recipes, so then eventually you're going to be tempted into buying that Campground Gourmet book that we're putting out. All right.
All right, Stephanie, I'm super excited about this podcast. I think you are too. We thought of this one a while ago, and we finally made it happen. We have a podcast listener named Lauren Eber, who's in our Facebook group, and we've emailed with. And she, when she was in her research and shopping stage, we kind of talked to her a little bit, and we kind of she was asking us some questions about motorhomes. But then she decided to get a Sprinter van.
Pivot.
Major pivot / epiphany.
Yeah.
So she decided, and she has two kids, okay? There's four of them all together. And they decided to get a Sprinter van and outfit it themselves, okay?
Outfit it, yeah. We are upfitting the Sprinter.
And so we follow them on Instagram, a fam with a van. And I was like, this is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a viable option for a lot of our RVFTA families out there who want to keep it really, really small. So once she bought this Sprinter van and upfitted it, we were like, we got to get her on the show. And she's been doing some awesome trips with it, and she's got all kinds of fantastic interesting information about how you could do this yourself.
I'm obsessed with Lauren. I'm obsessed with her conversion van. I'm absolutely obsessed. You're going to have a serious issue in the future. I mean, this isn't an issue now because we are not making any other RV purchase as long as we have a payment on an F-250. That's not happening.
Well, let's pay it off then.
But you're going to have a serious issue on your hands once that F-250 is paid off, because I'm going to be honest with you, I want one.
This is like an adventure vehicle, and they use this for camping, but they also use it for sports. They could use it for festivals. I mean, this thing, if we had one of these, we would use it all year long for a wide variety of things.
Yeah, and you know what? You can tow something behind it. So put Penny on the back of that and head off to the campground if you need extra room for the kids to sleep. And set up a tent outside. I love this idea so much, but we're not going to tell Lauren's entire story.
I know.
We're going to let her tell the story. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for Van Life with Kids. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are really ridiculously excited for this episode. I mean, this is just such a fascinating concept to me. Like, van life, ! With kids, ! That's how I'm looking at this. And I want to learn. I want to know what's going on here. And Stephanie's already talking about getting a van. So we're going to have a great interview with Lauren Eber, who's a lawyer from Southern California and an RVFTA listener that we started talking to, I think, over the last summer. I don't even remember when it was, just talking about vans. And she's going to really take us into her camping life, where she is having big adventures with her family and her kids in a van. So it's going to be a great interview. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
The Red Hawk offers one of the best values in its category without skimping on superior handling and solid construction. It features J-Ride, a powerful blend of precise handling and renowned stability, and comes complete with Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. When the ride is this smooth, the fun is easier to find. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. And I'm ready to talk about some family fun with Lauren. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be on with you guys.
Lauren, we have one question. Van life with kids.
Just one?
Yeah, just it's the whole interview. It's one question. Van life with kids? What's up? Come on. No, let's back up a little bit.
No, we're going to let her tell the whole story because the story is very good. And you know, we're hardly going to even get to the van in this first episode, in this first segment, because what we want you to do is take us all the way back. And we want to go back to what your life looked like before you even had an RV so you can help people understand how you went down the shopping road and you ended up with a conversion van. So can you tell us a little bit about your life prior to being an RV enthusiast?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I have to give you guys credit because your podcast was definitely a big part of my journey, but we'll get there. So, you know, I grew up camping. My husband grew up being outdoorsy, not necessarily a camper, but once he met me, he realized that camping was going to be part of the program, and he was game. So we definitely did a ton of camping in our pre-kid life. And then when kids came along, we have two kids now who are just turned 8 and about to turn 6. We knew that we wanted to continue camping with them. And it started out with just, you know, a weekend trip here or there. We live in Southern California, so we have a ton of wonderful places nearby that we can go. And so we'd do weekend trips to Joshua Tree or Santa Barbara, Malibu, Sequoia, Big Bear, Big Sur, places like that. But we weren't getting out nearly as often as we wanted, because it was just always so much work getting packed up, and no matter how organized we would try to be ahead of time, it always just took forever, and we felt like that was inhibiting our ability to go more frequently.
Lauren, it's so funny that you're saying, I can stop you for one second. A thought has been on my mind for the last few weeks about, like, I keep saying to myself in my head, the best RV is the RV that you're going to use the most, you know? And it seems like that was your thought process. Like, what RV is going to get us out there? And it's such a great way to approach it. So anyway, please continue.
Yeah, 100%. That was a huge part of our journey. And, you know, as, you know, the second kid came along, and then, you know, we inevitably have all this gear for camping with kids, and we love sleeping in a tent and all that. But it just became harder and harder to fit everything into my SUV. And that was a big part of the challenge of getting out there, is we would spend all this time playing Gear Tetris, just trying to get everything into the RV so that we could go. And then if we wanted to take a longer road trip, then it was really a lot of in and out. And so our very first taste of van life was when our daughter was about a year and a half. We went to Hawaii and rented a camper van, an old VW camper van, and kind of camped our way around the Big Island of Hawaii. And it was totally a blast. And that just sort of planted the seed in our minds of what camping with a van could be like. And then years kind of went by. We had another kid. We kept camping out of our cars. And then not this past summer, but the year before, so when our kids were 4 and 6, we took a big 2-week-plus road trip all the way up to the very top of California, just south of the Oregon border. We went, we camped in Big Sur, Mendocino. We rafted for a few days on the lower Klamath River. We, on the way back down, we camped in Lassen, Yosemite, Tahoe, and came back home. And it was an incredible, incredible trip. But we did it just with the SUV and a cargo box on the roof, and the packing and unpacking every time was a huge pain. And the trip was incredible regardless, but definitely that trip was what made us decide, okay, this is something that we know we're going to want to do more often. That trip was such a wonderful way of bonding as a family, seeing our beautiful state. We just had so much fun together but we wanted that kind of thing to be easier to do.
Yeah, it's possible to have an amazing time with your kids doing something and then to also say that was completely exhausting and we probably should find a way to make it a little less exhausting for us.
Yes, exactly. And so that was what really started us getting serious about looking at what the other options were. And from the get-go, you know, we live in a city on a small, windy street with literally no parking other than our small garage. And so we knew that we were going to have to basically, if we had anything, park it down the street from our house. And I didn't want to, you know, it's not like we have some driveway, big driveway that we could put an RV in. And the whole point was to make it easier to get out more often. And so having, first of all, to pay for offsite storage, and second of all, to add an extra errand into the whole getting out process was totally unappealing. So right away, I knew that anything that we couldn't just park on the street was not going to work for us.
Two thoughts. I'm sorry, two thoughts. So limitations really can focus the mind, and I think that can actually be a good thing. And then my second thought is, Southern California, storage has got to be really expensive. And when you say extra errand, I mean, I would assume that could mean driving off into traffic. Like, it wouldn't be so easy to go pick up the RV.
No, not at all. If you're going to, I mean, I can only imagine the cost of garaging an RV in the middle of the city. So you'd have to go somewhere far afield, which in traffic could be, you know, an hour and a half each way in the wrong direction of where you're going, and then you have to get it to your house and you have to pack it up. So that just wasn't a realistic option for us. So, you know, a van is really the perfect RV for urban life. And so we really realized, okay, we need to be looking at vans. And we had that experience in Hawaii that we could refer back to and how much fun we'd had with it. And it seemed like the way to go for us.
You know, Lauren, it's not hard to rent a van. So I just want to encourage some people out there that are listening and that are saying, okay, I kind of like this idea. This is intriguing to me. You know, it's one of the easier rentals to find out there.
Yeah.
You know, a van rental, a lot of even the more sort of, you know, corporate, or a lot of the corporate rentals out there, they have vans. So, you know, this is something that, talk about a good use of money, to have to spend the money actually trying it and see how it works for you.
And for our listeners, I think it's so important. Lauren, you guys did this before you bought one and you went in that direction. Like, I would never tell anyone to go out and buy a small van and then assume
and
you're going to be happy with it with your kids.
Like,
you need to find a way to try this first. And since you guys did, it sounds like you were able to move forward pretty confidently in that direction.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we also, we've spent a lot of time camping and we know what we like. So, you know, we're not afraid of getting dirty, being dirty, sleeping in the dirt, sleeping on the ground. And in fact, that's a big part of what we like about the experience. And that also focused our search because we didn't want to give up sleeping in a tent. For me, being able to sleep in a tent with nothing but mesh over my head when the weather is nice, and laying in bed, counting the stars or seeing the pine needles, that's a huge part of the experience. And so right away, we knew that meant we're going to need something that's going to have some space for us to store our camping gear. I also, one of my favorite things about camping is setting up my outdoor kitchen and being outside while I'm making the quesadillas or the pasta or the fajitas or whatever it is I'm cooking, and being able to keep an eye on my kids running around. And so I didn't love the idea of a van or RV that would require me to be inside all the time cooking, because I felt like I would spend the entire trip or the entire weekend inside of the van cooking while the rest of my family was outside having a great time at a campground.
So it sounds like you were thinking of this as a hybrid experience right off the bat in terms of a van, but keeping the tent as part of the game, and also then outdoor cooking being a big part of it as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. So for us, it was almost like we just sort of wanted a family minivan on steroids almost. more than a true RV or a house on wheels. And I mean, the thing that's great about a conversion van, and we can get into, you know, why we made all the choices that we want, but the thing that's great about it is that you can design it for the way that you like to travel, the way that you like to camp. And we were fortunate. You sort of have to know what you like in order to make those decisions. And we'd spent enough time camping that we knew that about ourselves. So I felt like I had the confidence to make some of those decisions. But it was important to me to have a kitchen set up that could work inside and outside. And that really informed the direction that we went as well. You know, once we decided we wanted to go with a van, we started looking around at what was out there on the market because, of course, you know, like everybody, we're busy, we have full lives. Designing and building a van myself was not something that I thought was sort of thinking I wanted to do for its own sake. If there was something that was already on the market that would work for us, that would have been our first choice. But as we started looking, first of all, there really are very few vans on the market that will sleep for people. There are a few.
Let's clarify, Lauren, the yes. U.S. market, right?
Yes.
Because
absolutely, yeah.
The European market, they do make van life for kids very nice and comfortable in a lot of the RVs. But the U.S. market, I'm going to come out and say it, they seem to have ceded van life to couples and not to families. And
let's hope that changes. With Thor purchasing Hymer, the European influence might start, I hope, permeating American van life a little more. I hope that we start seeing some more of those designs over here. But I know exactly what
Lauren's
you mean.
Lauren's right on target with
American
that.
American vans are for couples.
They scream couple, and they're like, yeah, you just don't want to be in this van with your kids.
Right. Yeah. No, completely. And, you know, you mentioned Hymer. Probably had we sort of been forced to go the pre-made route, if conversion hadn't been an option, the Hymer 2.0 loft edition probably would have been the closest we could get on the ready-made market. But it, first of all, wasn't out yet when we bought. And second of all, you know, they're not cheap.
Right. So no, Lauren, you're kind of like squeezing that in, but let's be blunt. The vans are
90,
some 000, of the smaller
100,
RVs. 000. They are the most expensive, really.
They cost more than Class E's.
Right. So in general, when you're talking about these manufactured vans, for people that don't know that are listening, you're looking at almost an entry level cost of about $90,000. And then the ones that are really nicely outfitted can go all the way up to your Airstream, which is $199 for their Class B.
So Lauren, I'm curious.
Yeah.
So like in terms of you ditching the idea of getting something from a manufacturer and moving towards the conversion, you just said the beds were a concern for sure. You know, the price point is obviously a big issue to think about. And I know you're going to get into this later, but your camp kitchen, was that also an issue? Because I know that your outdoor cooking is a big deal to you and you have this awesome setup for that. Was that also like a third stumbling block for you in terms of getting one that was pre-designed by a manufacturer?
Well, absolutely. Because if you look at the few vans that are out there that do sleep for, and the Winnebago Travato is a great example, they have very little storage space. So if you are someone who just wants a straight up sort of camping experience with your small kitchen inside and that doesn't bother you, the Travato I think is actually a great option. It's a great vehicle and we looked seriously at it. But it would have meant moving all that stuff inside and giving up the ability to really have our full outdoor camp set up the way we like it.
Was it a really liberating feeling? Like, was this like just like an aha moment? Like, okay, we don't have to buy a pre-designed floor plan. We can make this up ourselves.
Yeah, it was liberating and also a little bit scary because I don't know the first thing about converting a van. I mean, I can barely change my own oil in my car. So to, you know, think about designing and building, of course, with the help of professionals, but still a van, you know, as my husband and I were talking, it's like, what makes us think that we're going to be able to do a better job of putting something together than what's already out there on the market? Are we totally crazy? But ultimately, we did enough research and talked to enough people that we decided, hey, I think we can do this, and I think we can actually make exactly what we want. Like, we can make our dream camping vehicle. And for us, it's really almost more of a camping support vehicle in a lot of ways than a true RV. But that's because of the choices we made. I mean, we could have made it so that it has more of a true RV kind of feel to it had that those been our priorities.
A CSV, a camping support vehicle. You just coined a new genre. The whole RV industry has just been revolutionized by this concept.
And we are going to dive into all of the aspects of this camping support vehicle. When we come back in our next segment, we are going to hear about the choices that you did make. And this is going to be so fascinating to our listeners. You guys, I learned so much from Lauren about this whole process. You've got to stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I want to hear more about van life with kids. And like, this is the money segment here, because we're actually going to talk about this conversion van and the design and everything. So we'll be back in 1 second, but we got a sponsored message from our friends at Camp Casual first.
And our friends at Camp Casual love bringing you all their vintage camping and RV inspired dishware to share with you and your family. And they're doing it at such a great discount with our code RVFTA25, which gives you 25% off everything at campcasual.com. But I'm going to tell you right now, the temperatures here in our neck of the woods have dropped down into the 50s, and everybody in our family is spending a lot more time under their fuzzy Camp Casual blankets. These things have been described, I think most accurately, as a basket of kittens. They are just the snuggliest blankets out there, and we have had ours for years now. We wash them regularly because our kids use them so much, and they've held up really beautifully. They fit perfectly on those twin bunks also
now
in
that
the
you
RVs.
Mention it, all the Camp Casual stuff is like 3 years old mm-hmm. now for us.
It's in heavy rotation, and it still looks good. So I really highly recommend snagging yourself some Camp Casual blankets.
I also highly recommend that everyone goes to Instagram and follows Lauren Eber at A Fam With A Van. Because you're going to want to see pictures of this.
Yes, I had to go there, and I had to see all the stuff she was talking about with the conversion van after we had chatted, and I did get to see it. So, and we'll also put in some great pictures over at rvfta.com in the show notes. Okay, Lauren, you ready to tell us how this whole conversion van thing works?
All right, let's talk about it.
All right, let's start at the very beginning. How did you start a hunt for a conversion van?
Yeah, so the very first thing I had to figure out was what van. So when you do a van conversion, for the most part, you have to have your own van. And then once you have the van, you can get an upfitter to actually work with you on the conversion, unless you are resourceful enough to actually do the build yourself, which plenty of people do. There are lots of people on Instagram who have done that. That was not happening in our lives. So we were going to be relying on some wonderful experts to help us. And so for the most part, you have to have a van first. So there are really three main options in the U.S. for commercial vans that are the right size and shape to turn into campers. And they are the Mercedes Sprinter, the Dodge ProMaster, and the Ford Transit. And there are pros and cons to each of them. The biggest advantage to the Sprinter is that it has this sort of legendary Sprinter diesel engine that is supposed to last forever. I mean, people have their Mercedes Sprinter vans for 20 years, upwards of 300,000 miles, and they are just workhorses.
And let's just say now, Lauren, that when we had talked, you had said that this was very much for you and your husband, a forever plan for you guys. When you were looking into this, you were like, we know what we want, and we're looking for something that will take us through our kids' childhoods all the way up through, we could still be a couple in this, you know, afterwards thing, right?
Yep, Absolutely. And so for us, that was really the biggest factor. And we didn't want to put all of this time and money into building our own van only to have it conk out on us after a few years. So,
Lauren, did you consider the other two at all, or did you really quickly go to the Sprinter chassis? Was it an obvious choice for you, or were there other like really appealing things about the other two as well?
Yeah. So, I would say we decided fairly quickly, but I did give serious consideration to the others, partly because, they're less expensive. So if budget is a really big factor for you, then that's something to definitely strongly consider. The other big factor is that the Dodge ProMaster has really straight sides, whereas the Sprinter curves in a lot at the top. So if you are going to have bunk beds in your van like we do, that upper bunk is going to be a lot narrower than the lower bunk.
That's pretty important.
It is important, especially if you want to try to sleep sideways. So, like, if you want to sleep so that you're perpendicular to the length of the van. If you have a Dodge ProMaster, you can do that pretty well, even with two levels, because the sides are so straight. So your upper bunk is still going to be long enough, certainly, to sleep some kids. Now, we decided pretty quickly, though, that we actually wanted to sleep the length of the van, because for us, we wanted to be able to not have to deflate and roll up our camping pads. So, we pitched the tent, and the biggest pain in the butt after you sleep in the tent is having to deflate and roll up your pads. So for us, we wanted a surface that was big enough that we could just toss those pads in the van and go and completely skip that step of the pack up.
So it turns it's like your camping pads turn into your bed in the RV if you wanted it to be.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that's exactly what we do. So we stack all of the pads. And in fact, we have these double wide Big Agnes Dream Island sleeping bags that have a little pouch inside or on the back that the pads slide right into. So it's all just one piece, the sleeping bag with the pads stuffed inside. We have the two bag pad combinations stacked on the top bunk of the van with all of the pillows and blankets and other, odds and ends. And then we keep the lower bunk free so that we can put all our gear on it. And then when we get to the campsite, all that stuff from the middle bunk comes out as we're making camp, our camping bins and our kitchen and stuff like that. And then it's available, and then we can decide day to day, basically, whether we want to sleep in the tent or in the van. Or last summer, for example, we did a big road trip out to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, and my mom flew out and spent 3 nights with us, and she slept in the van on a, super cushy pad that we brought along for her while we all slept in the tent. And that worked really well.
Oh, yeah, your mother-in-law suite.
You guys are too cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. That's so great.
I also do just love this hybrid concept that the tent is there if you want it and need it. And, you might make the mistake of thinking a van is limiting. But if you're creative like you guys are, it doesn't sound very limiting at all. It sounds like you've got a lot of options for how you go about a trip.
Oh, we have a ton of options, and we can even bring, first-time camping friends along with us, and we have, room to sleep all of these people. So it makes it easy if we have friends who are sort of tentative, but maybe want to try camping but are nervous, we can bring them along, and we have the whole setup for them.
So you decided to go with the Sprinter chassis. Then what happened next?
Yes. So once we decided we wanted a Sprinter, we had to find our dealer. And I also did a little research to look into whether it was cost effective to buy used versus new. And I pretty quickly realized that the cost savings wasn't worth it. These vans hold their value really well over time. And the little bit that we were going to get off wasn't worth it to not have the warranty and to be able to work with the dealer. And I'll explain partly why that's important. in a second.
You just confirmed something I've thought for years. I have a close friend who wants to get a Class B, and he keeps saying, "Well, I'm gonna find a used one at a bargain." And I keep telling, you know, I don't know the world of vans like you do, but I keep telling him, like, I don't think so. Like, I think you should just be looking new. Like, and if you do find one used, you might have to fly halfway across the country to buy it, and then that's going to cost money too. So, I think you just proved me right in that conversation.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure it varies, but for us, looking at the Sprinter market, it definitely made sense for us to go new. So then I started calling around to dealers in my area, Mercedes dealers, and I talked to, I don't know, maybe five different dealerships, and pretty quickly was able to tell, every dealership sort of has a person who runs their van business, and I was pretty quickly able to tell who really knew what was going on with the van conversion world and who didn't. And so I went with someone who I could tell right away had a ton of expertise in van conversion. And in fact, he had previously had his own van conversion company. And so he was able to guide me through the process of exactly what options I should choose on my van in order to get the kind of conversion I wanted. So if you start looking into it, there are so many options that it really can be overwhelming. First of all, there are three different lengths of van, of Sprinter van. And then there are, within each of those lengths, there's a cargo van, which is just basically a metal box with no windows other than, you know, the driver and the passenger, and it just has the driver and passenger seat. There's a passenger van, which has windows running up and down the length of the entire van and has multiple rows of bench seats for passengers and also has the entire interior finished, so it's not just blank metal, whereas the cargo van just is like a metal box. And then there's a crew van, which kind of splits the difference. It's the driver and passenger seat. It's one row bench seat, and it has walls that are finished up until that one bench seat, and it has a completely finished headliner. So meaning that the roof is fabric all the way to the back, and then the walls are sort of a plasticky material, but finished, not just metal, about halfway back. And for us having kids, it was critical for me to have something that was I was going to be able to safely install car seats or booster seats using the latch system and not have to like rig up some sort of, you know, unreliable system for installing car seats. And so having that bench seat that is anchored to the vehicle with the latch system just made my life so much easier. So we wound up going with the crew van, which is that sort of middle level that has the one bench seat. It has windows where the kids sit next to the bench seat, but then not at the back where the beds are. And it already had that finished headliner. So we didn't have to pay the money to finish the headliner. We did have to pay to finish the back half of the walls, but that wasn't so bad. So for us, that was a really cost-effective way. Now, it means that we don't have one of those really beautiful, Instagram-worthy, like, wood-paneled roofs. That
life's about
have.
More than Instagram, Lauren. It's okay.
Right, exactly. And we don't have, similarly, some beautiful custom floor. We just went with the, you know, rubber, super durable floor that came with the van. But, you know, those were some of the ways that we made it more cost-effective. Whereas when you're buying a Hymer or a Road Trek or a Winnebago, they have had to pay to make custom interiors for all of those things and building in the cabinetry and all of that, and that all costs money. So we were trying to do something that was economical. This is a rugged camping vehicle for us. It didn't have to look super fancy. We cared more about it being functional.
And where did that come into, you know, a rough, you know, like what is cost effective there? Where did you end up landing?
Right.
You know, one of the things that I was really curious about is it was a blow to me how expensive trucks are, right? Like when we first started looking at the F-150 and the F-250, the cost was really a lot higher than I had anticipated. So I'm wondering what the cost of something like this is.
Yeah, so for us, you know, there were some upgrades that we did. We went for the fancy safety package and some other upgrades. There were some upgrades we skipped. So, for example, we didn't go with the 4x4, which would have cost an extra roughly 10 grand. So the van itself was in the neighborhood of about $50,000, which, you know, I mean, you buy a nice new SUV for your family or a nice truck and you're
My F-250 was pretty darn close.
And one of the things that I always think about is a Suburban is more expensive.
Frankly, that does not actually sound that expensive to me, considering what you said and what we also know about that Sprinter chassis and that engine and how long it can last. I mean, you know, obviously it's an investment, but this is not something in 8 years that's going to the scrap heap. I mean, this is like you guys could have this for a really, really long time. And then if you then if you calculate that price, if you've, you know, if you have it for the next 20 years, that sounds pretty reasonable to me.
But we don't have an RV yet, right? So tell us about how you got the conversion process going.
Right. So the great thing about going through buying new and working with the dealership is that the dealership where we bought the van, and I have to give a little shout out to Mercedes-Benz of Oxnard and Phil Rush over there who helped us, they were able to also hook us up with an incredible outfitter. We worked with, or upfitter, I should say, we worked with Jeremiah over at ADF Sprinters, Automotive Design and Fabrication, and by going through the dealership and using an official Mercedes-Benz upfitter, we were able to actually finance 50% of our conversion cost and wrap that into our financing for the van.
Mind blown.
At auto loan interest rates, from what I understand.
Exactly.
That's
so
killer.
So we were able to have, 0.9% interest rate on
ain't
the
getting that on an RV, man. You're not getting that on an RV loan. At least I'm not. I don't know anybody getting that kind of a loan for an RV.
Right.
So that's a big advantage.
I know.
To
I
the
never
way you
knew
did
you
this.
Could do that. That's great that they work together that way.
It's a huge advantage, and you know, the disadvantage is that an RV loan, they let you pay off over a much longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
For a car loan, you're looking at a shorter period of time, so you do have to be able to make those higher payments.
Less total
but over
interest.
The life of the loan, you're spending so much less.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, you can get a 15-year RV loan, but it's not necessarily advisable financially because you're paying more interest.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say this, though. I keep thinking, like, do you have a huge advantage being in like Southern California? I mean, I'm just wondering, could somebody in the middle of Missouri get this done? Or are they going to have to they could probably just have to like come out to you and buy it out in not just Los Angeles, but I'm just wondering how many Mercedes dealerships can do this
kind of a thing. Yeah.
You'd be surprised. There are actually, it's becoming more and more common. So, you know, I don't know. I don't, you know, I live in Southern California and there are, I mean, it seems like you can throw a stone and hit a van conversion company. I talked to, you know, five that were all within striking distance of where we live as I was trying to decide who we were going to work with. But you know, on Instagram, I follow people all over the country and there are Mercedes dealerships all over the country that do this. And by the way, the van that we bought was not located at the dealer that we bought it from. I worked with our dealer to figure out what van would be perfect. He found it somewhere and had it brought over to the dealership for me. So just because your perfect van isn't where you live in Missouri, that doesn't mean you can't buy it. You work with them, you figure out what you want, and they can get it for you.
Now, Lauren, when you went and you went through this whole, you know, financing process, so you planned for the conversion and wrapped that into your auto loan, how long was it before your conversion was actually done?
Yeah. So just backing up, you had asked how much it cost, and I want to make sure I tell people. We wound up spending somewhere in the neighborhood, I think, of around $25,000 on the conversion itself. I would say that's sort of a middle of the road conversion. That's not a super, a middle of the road conversion using a professional company to do it.
Let me stop you for a second. That's a middle of the road Class A, you know? I mean, so in terms of just thinking about that price, that sounds very reasonable because it's exactly what you want. And then there's also the advantage of the loan that you got. So all of this sounds like very attractive.
So you were at about 75 all in for your personalized conversion van.
Right. Right.
How much do you think you would have saved with the ProMaster or the Ford? Let's just say, I mean, I don't know that you can answer this question. I mean, how much less would that be, maybe, for the total package, just for anybody out there listening and dreaming a little?
Right. I don't know exactly, but I think probably in the neighborhood of 10,000, very, very rough numbers.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And by the way, I think that had we just wanted to do really basics, like put in a panel bed or two, put in a, you know, plug in 12 volt fridge and a little insulation so that the van stays at a good temperature. I mean, we could have just done that amount for a lot less. But we did put in some really nice bells and whistles. We put in a new head unit stereo system so that we could get satellite radio, and we put in nice new speakers so that we have a great sound system. We have an awning. We have a really nice fan. We have a roof rack, a custom-built roof rack, and on the roof rack sits a 100-watt solar panel. We upgraded the factory auxiliary battery to a lithium ion battery, and between that 100 watt solar panel and the lithium ion battery, it more than powers everything that we have on board. So, which is our fridge, any devices that we want to charge, being able to listen to the radio for a while we're parked.
I'm calling it a bargain, Lauren. I'm calling it a bargain.
I think so.
And here's why, partly, because we, for Trailer Life magazine this summer, we test drove an $84,000 Suburban. And I would rather have what you did, a lot more. I mean, there are pickup trucks that cost that much right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it really does feel like a good value to us. It's not a small amount of money. You're definitely making a lifestyle decision. But for us, we feel like we've gotten every penny's worth out of it and more.
I got to stop you again. I also, when you get a motorhome, the depreciation is probably significantly worse than I bet you have very minor car-like depreciation as opposed to that massive motorhome depreciation, which is also another advantage.
And for people who are interested, I mean, these things go for a pretty penny on Outdoorsy or other, peer-to-peer mm-hmm. RV rental sites. So if you wanted to, you could very easily be renting it out and making up a good portion of your money by renting it out even just a few days a month. But the reality is we use it all the time. And so we don't have any desire to rent it out because it's basically our weekend vehicle now. So, it's soccer season, our kids are doing sports, and my husband's the coach and has all of this equipment, all the soccer balls and everything, and we bring a big water jug for the team. And so on Saturdays, we're loading up the van. I have it always stocked with tons of snacks, so if whoever's on snack duty doesn't show, we just pull out all the bags of Goldfish and granola bars, and we're ready, and we have our fridge that's always stocked with our cold drinks, so... when it's, 85 degrees during the soccer game, like it was last weekend, I can be sitting there drinking my cold soda, or whatever during the game. And in between the kids' games, we run out and I can make them turkey sandwiches from the van, and, the kids have a place to change out of their uniform. So, I mean, we use it just as part of our daily life. Or, I took the kids to like a Lego convention at, one of the convention centers nearby, and it was like this whole day extravaganza, and we had a place where we could go and take a break, and again, I could make the kids a sandwich, and we could have a cold drink. So we just use it all the time.
So your husband looks at you and goes, "She's a genius," and you look at your husband and you look at your husband and you go, "He's a genius," and you guys toast each other like once a week and just go, "This thing, this is all brilliant." I mean, I'm so
absolutely.
I mean, I had this. I had the sneaking suspicion that we were going to be like ridiculously impressed with this whole operation, and we are.
Well, the thing that really got me, Lauren, was, you know, you, I know you had kept both of your other daily drivers in this process.
Right.
And
yep.
So here you can keep your older cars, you know, that serve yep. you just fine going to and from work. And instead of trading one of those in for something that, like, you know, another kind of souped up minivan or SUV or whatever that will cart the family around, it was like you invested in this thing that can do it all. It can take you away to have great adventures, but it can also be your family vehicle on a typical weekend.
I mean, it yeah. could be the second car for certain families. And that's another way that exactly. it could be very cost effective.
Yeah, and there are some people who use Sprinters as their daily drivers. Here, there is you have to park underground too often for it to be practical on a daily basis, but in some places, you certainly could. And you're absolutely right. I mean, my husband and I talked about it, and we said, okay, are we both willing to drive our current cars for, you know, another few years mm-hmm. until the van is paid off? And we both said, yes, it's totally worth it to us. And so for the amount that we would spend if each of us had, you know, upgraded our cars instead of keeping cars that we have that are older now that are paid off, combined between the two of us would add up to roughly, you know, what we're paying for this whole van. And for us, it was totally worth it to just, you know, I'm happy to drive my car for another 3 to 5 years or whatever it is, as is he. And you
and
know,
to be
we
able
can
to
look
have
at maybe
that.
Upgrading. Yeah. Exactly. And we have this whole lifestyle. And I have to tell you, the kids love it.
I was just about to say, Lauren, what do the kids think?
I mean, so first of all, the kids named it. They gave it this goofy name, Yeho. I have no idea where that came from or why, but there was no changing their minds. They were adamant the van is Yeho. And if they ever hear us calling it the van, we are in serious trouble. Don't call it the van. It's Yeho. So we have Yeho, and they love Yeho like their extra sibling. I mean, they just love it. And in fact, for my 8-year-old's birthday party, she insisted on having a birthday party, a camping birthday party, and we got a, you know, a couple of campsites out in Malibu on the beach and did a big bonfire, and she had a few friends come out there, and the kids, I mean, yeah, they wanted to play in the beach, but what they really wanted to do is play in Yeho. And so she and all of her very sandy friends were climbing inside, playing Uno, listening to podcasts, playing board games, and hanging out in Yeho. And everyone thought it was so cool and so much fun. And so the kids just love it. And I think for them, it feels so cozy and reassuring when we all go and spend this time together in this van, and it gives them a sense that really is really important to us, that we're instilling in our kids, that life can be simple. You don't have to have all of these trappings, live in a big house, you know, have a bunch of fancy things. Life can be really simple and off the grid, and it's really just about spending time with the people you love, and it gives us a way of really living those values with our kids on a day-to-day basis that sometimes feels like it can be really challenging when you're living in, you know, a major metropolitan city.
I love the fact, considering where you guys live and your lives and all the different elements, that you found the perfect thing for you. It doesn't sound like you're waking up in the morning and going, man, I really want a 40-foot diesel pusher.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Lauren, thank you.
I like having our off-grid vehicle.
Thank you so much for sharing this story. This story was really inspiring to me, and I just loved it so much. And I have to say, selfishly, one of the things that I loved the most was that you said to me, you know, we just listened to your podcast. I listened to all of them when I was, and it helped me so much. And I thought, I was so happy that you said that our podcast helped you find not the RV that we were reviewing or the RV that we had, but it helped you find and navigate that world to find something perfect for you. And, you know, we just want to bring
absolutely.
Those voices on, and everybody can do it differently and just have the same amount of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do, I had no idea really what an RV even was. And so I somehow miraculously, I found your podcast and I listened to easily over 100 back episodes of your show in a matter of a few weeks. And I felt like I went from knowing nothing about what this whole world was all about to having a solid foundation. You know, I listened to the episodes on pros and cons of a Class A, a Class B, a Class C, a trailer, and I really was able to sort of educate myself enough to know what would and wouldn't work. And if it hadn't been for your podcast, it would have taken me just a lot longer, I think, to build up enough knowledge to feel confident in what I needed, what was going to work for me, and to be able to pull the trigger and make the decision to go with a conversion van. So
all the warm and fuzzies, Lauren.
All the warm and fuzzies.
It's a huge part of our journey.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I want to.
Stephanie so wants this. You got it. We'll talk
later.
You
got under my skin, Lauren.
It might take a while. Now, you're going to go, everyone listening, you're going to want to continue to follow Lauren's adventures at A Fam with a Van. She takes great pictures.
Yeah.
She's going to awesome places. You also want to check out the photos of the camp kitchen and all that stuff. So thank you so much for coming
Lauren.
On the show. We really enjoyed this.
We'll talk soon.
It's really my pleasure. Thanks a lot. Take care. Happy camping.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a huge thank you to Lauren Eber. Wasn't that an awesome interview, Stephanie? I really personally enjoyed that so much.
I know. I'm kind of sad that Lauren lives out in California because I want to be
your BFF. We want to hang. And honestly, like, we were doing the interview, and it was like, I just wanted to be there listening to it. You know, like, I felt like a listener, just learning. It was so exciting. And I do think that at some point in our RV lives, there will be a van for us.
Oh, you're going to have issues in the future, don't you, Ari? Because I know you and your classy.
Aren't the problems
blah.
Always the three kids? She has two kids. Once you get to three, everything gets
three
more
kids.
Complicated.
They can sleep in a tent.
Oh, that's right. It's a camping support vehicle, isn't it? Well, anyway,
it is a camping
follow Lauren
vehicle.
Over at A Fam with a Van. They're a lot of fun. You can see pictures of that gorgeous Sprinter that they upfitted. All right, it's time for the news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Now, we want to remind you at this time of year, remember last week, Mark Polk explained how important it was to take this time when you're winterizing your RV to also make sure you do a nice tank flush out and everything. A lot of people do that in the spring, but he's saying don't let that sediment like sit in your tanks all year. Really give it a nice flush ahead of time. So we wanted to remind you that we did a really great informational episode with Paul the Mad Scientist from Thetford back in the summer, and she gave so much tank and RV cleaning advice. And you know, a lot of people are doing that like clean out of their whole RV at this time of the year, and Paula talked about why it's so important to use the right product when you are cleaning your awning, when you are cleaning your toilet, that sometimes people are like, oh, go use bleach. But that bleach actually breaks down the seals around your toilet. Now, you don't have that in your house, so you don't realize it. And you think, oh, I'll just use the same products. But Paula was, you know, she was really helpful in saying, this is why we're not just trying to sell our RV products.
Paula didn't chastise us. She educated us.
No, because she's not like, oh, no, we just want you to buy our products. She's like, you should buy RV-specific products, and here's why. She really did break it down.
When we say she's a mad scientist, we mean she's a brilliant scientist, not that she's angry.
She's not actually angry, no. She's not an angry.
And we got so much positive email about that episode. Like, yeah. People really enjoyed that episode.
Because it's helpful. People like helpful stuff, right? And good advice that comes from somebody who's really well educated on it. So make sure that you go back and check that out. If you didn't, it might be a good time to refresh.
And also make sure that you're getting yourself psychologically prepared to buy Kate Dunbar's new cookbook, The Campground Gourmet. Stephanie, give us all the details about this cookbook.
All right. So The Campground Gourmet is a collection of over 100 pages of Kate's best recipes. She actually had about double the amount that we actually pared down. We're going to release the rest at another time.
That's just an equation. Anytime you ask Kate to do anything, you should just double what you're going to get.
Oh Oh my gosh, she's unbelievable. So we have this amazing cookbook of breakfast and sandwiches and burgers and salads and sides and entrees and drinks and desserts. It's everything
and
that
bacon,
you could possibly need.
Pancake.
Yes.
Dippers. I'm going to say that again. Bacon, pancake, dippers. And where can everyone get that recipe as a free sneak preview?
We are giving you our free sneak previews over on the recipe at rvfta.com. If you go into the blog post, right, not the show notes section, but the actual blog post, we're putting all these recipes that we're talking about on the show this season as nice separate blog posts that you can easily find and get the recipe for. We have this week's sweet potatoes, white chili, tortilla pie, French toast, pie iron dinners, and then of course, Kate's bacon pancake dippers.
And the bacon pancake dipper is perfect for the Blackstone. And ask me why, Stephanie.
Why?
Because you can make like 20 of them at once.
Right, across. Yeah, no, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to do this at home. And that's the point. Do it at home this weekend. Make these recipes at home and then make them at the campground. They're great for both. And those are the kind of recipes that I particularly like. So also make sure that you check out the camping playlist is back with us over on Campground of the Week, reviewing Smithwoods RV Park, which is in the Santa Cruz Mountains in California.
And really one of their absolute favorites.
Yes, they go back there regularly.
I think we're on a hot streak over on the Campground of the Week podcast.
We've had some great reviews. Season so far.
Assateague State Park. Carrie Cox took us to Hot Springs in Arkansas, mm-hmm. reviewed a really great state park there. We're bringing you the best campgrounds
in America.
We also
did the Smokies Roundup, which I was really happy to finally do.
Think of the geographical diversity of what we just said. The camping playlist out in California. You have Carrie Cox down in Arkansas. You have Jeremy and Stephanie in Maryland. And then we did an overview of all of the great places to camp in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park region.
Definitely a fun season. All right, everybody. And speaking of all those campgrounds, we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.